God first. Know your business. Bicknell Young was one of the more advanced practitioners in Mary Baker Eddy's day, and he stated that one of the biggest problems that he saw was those who came to him to help them in their business did not know their business. The first thing to do is to know your business from a human standpoint. Mary Baker Eddy stated that the divinity of Jesus was possible because of the magnitude of his humanity. Not an exact quote, but the theme. If we're going to be a concert pianist, we better be an expert as a concert pianist on a human level. And that takes a lot of work. Consistent, systematic. One such famous pianist said that if he missed one day of practice, he would know it. If he missed 2 days, the critics would know it. If he missed 3 days, the audience would know it. And of course, to get up to the expert level took years and years of work. Doesn't matter what the topic is, you need to know your business. The same in mathematics. You cannot have a superficial knowledge of mathematics and become an expert. If you are running a business where you're manufacturing a product and selling it, you have to have a very excellent appreciation of what vertical integration is all about. That means from the beginning to the end. You need to know all the pieces and how they fit together, whether or not you do it yourself or whether or not you contract it out. Some of the most successful people I've ever known contracted out almost everything. All they did is to assemble an expert management team. I'm not saying that lightheartedly, because that is the key to the success of any business is management. When we have a problem, do we know what we're doing? Or are we expecting to do what the devil tempted Jesus to do, and that was to jump off of the cliff expecting God to save him? Jesus said, the Bible states, do not tempt the Lord thy God. Are we going to drive down the highway with our eyes closed, thinking that God will drive the car? Now, I'm eliminating what they have available today as self-driving cars. Even with that, I don't think I'd be closing my eyes. I'd want to at least be prepared as a backup to make corrective measures if something went wrong. The idea we need to absorb and understand thoroughly is that we must know our business as our first step. That is principle. That is mind. That is spirit. That is soul. That is life, truth, and love. Being demonstrated on a practical level. We must be utilizing the intelligence and the wisdom and the knowing of mind. We must be utilizing the creative ability. We must be realizing that all capacity, all functionality, all facility, all capability is all from God. So that enables us to become an expert in our field of endeavor. We must know that all of these things come from God and not from the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. We must realize the only substance is spirit, And the only sense is spiritual sense because the only substance is spirit. So therefore, we should be doing and exercising and be conscious of spiritual seeing, spiritual hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Spiritual seeing is perception, sorting, looking for the wheat and sorting out the chaff. How about principle? That's system and structure. Do we know the principle of what we're doing? Do we have a systematic approach? Mary Baker Eddy must have been extremely structured. Otherwise, she could not have accomplished what she accomplished in such a short number of years. How about life? Are we giving it life? Or we just think that we'll get up at 10 o'clock in the morning and take a break at noon and come back at 2 o'clock after lunch and maybe work an hour. There has to be consecrated effort for any endeavor of value. How about truth? Once we know what the principle is of whatever it is we're doing, are we sticking to a standard that is of a high moral, ethical, and spiritual level? Love is nurturing every aspect of this process. Are we doing that? Think of a gardener. What does he do to bring about a beautiful bloom? He doesn't just stick the plant in the ground and then go on vacation for 3 months. He nurtures every aspect of growing the beautiful flower. Wholeness is brought about because of being motherly, nurturing, caring for it. And life is brought about by the fatherhood characteristics of life, strength, courage, and so forth. Every time you have a problem, are you just going to walk away from it, hoping somehow it will be solved on its own? Number one is definitely to know your business. And, of course, utilize the spiritual nature of God to guide you in how to do that. So you always go to God first, but you don't close your eyes and hope he's going to take care of everything. God works with those who work with the qualities of God. God helps them who help themselves. In other words, abiding by the qualities of God in the seven basic synonymous terms for God and what they represent. That's very important. Also, be aware of the operators of the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. The Word is knowing the facts. The Christ is translating and interpreting. Christianity is demonstrating, proving it, that you understand what you're doing. And science means that you have accomplished the first three. You've relied on the facts, you understand them, you've discovered them, what they are. You've translated and interpret any situation that you are faced with to make sure that you are looking from a spiritual standpoint and that you know your business. And the third is to prove that you are utilizing the right facts, that you are translating and interpreting correctly, and you prove it. You prove that you do. Then you will have the benefit of the science, which is the conclusion. That's the love. That's the wholeness, the completeness. The temptation is very strong to only go to God when one has run out of options. Immediately, the human nature thing is to react to a problem instead of responding to it. Thinking about how do I fix this instead of what is wrong with the system and the structure. Where does the correction need to be made? Frederick Rawson, one of the greatest practitioners of all time, said we should be able to demonstrate everything mentally and not have to do anything physically. He proved that many, many, many times. He was in a shooting contest. When he felt his thought was totally in alignment with God, he'd been looking away from the target with his eyes closed to focus. And when he felt everything was totally in alignment with who God is and who's in control and who is the only action, intelligence, wisdom, knowing, and all of these other qualities that I've been discussing, then he pulled the trigger. At the time, he was facing away from the target with his eyes closed. But that's when he got in alignment with the one and only divine mind. He won the tournament. Bullseye. He did the same with a man when he was gazing out a window with another practitioner, whatever they were discussing. Mr. Rawson noticed that all of a sudden, a man got out of his cart. It was a cart full of rocks. This was back in the early 1900s when more convenient vehicles were not available. And he went out, he got out of the cart and went back to examine the tailgate. Something alarmed the animal, raised up, and dumped the whole load of rocks on the man, covered him up, totally immersed. Mr. Rawson thought of one thing. There is nothing but God. With that, the man came shooting out of from underneath the rocks like a rocket, totally untouched with the entire event. The one standing next to Mr. Rawson is the one that related the demonstration. He witnessed the whole thing. It was very quick, very fast, very effective. His thought was automatic in its interpretation and translation. He knew well the facts. The demonstration was instantaneous. No material activity took place to bring that about. No one was digging the man out of the rocks or moving the rocks or whatever. It was all mental, just exactly what he said we should be doing. He discovered how to do retroactive healing, which means that the healing took effect prior to him being solicited to be involved in helping to bring the healing about. He has over 500 cases documented. Another instance where it was mental. You couldn't physically move the clock back in time, but he was able to do it mentally. His sister was his first test case, and she knew he had had success in healing. She had a problem, so she sent a letter. I guess it was back in the days where we had the Pony Express. She sent a letter to him, and sometime later, she had an opportunity to have a conversation with him. She said, it's a very strange thing what happened when I ask you to help me with this healing. She said, as soon as I sent the letter, the healing was effective. And she said, there's no way you could have even seen the letter. This was long before the days of instant communication. No internet. Probably most people didn't even have electricity. No Federal Express or UPS overnight service or DHL or other service like that. Maybe no telephone. But the communication was through a letter. He had decided before he got the letter that he wanted to try, he wanted to test to see if he could overcome time to have retroactive healing. And he decided he was going to test it to see if it would work. And her letter was the first communication he had after making that decision. And obviously it was very effective. Everything I've said so far is the groundwork for the two experiences that I witnessed where I was involved to prove that, number one, we have to know our business, and number two, we have to go to God. And I'd like to add a third item, and that is that we are constantly, as Mary Baker Eddy stated in Science and Health, bombarded with all of the limitations of material life, truth, and intelligence. In other words, we have to recognize that there is no life, truth, and intelligence in matter. That all is infinite mind. Therefore, we are not limited to anything such as the belief that we're born a sinner, that we're always making mistakes, that we were brought together because of a male and a female and electricity creating matter, and matter is always flawed. But we have to accept the fact that we are a spiritual idea, the manifestation of God itself, and therefore we're not any more limited than what God is, which means no limitation at all. For God is infinite. All is infinite mind, Mary Baker Eddy states. She also states in the glossary, under the definition of good, that good is God. Good is spirit. And that good is the four omnis of omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence, and omniaction. So there can be no action except the action of God, which is mind in action. So here are the two experiences, and these are hot off of the press. Today is August the 13th, and these both occurred August the 12th, 2023. And I must say, I was not the perfect example of what I'm preaching. I did not practice what I was preaching in the way it should have been practiced. But it was a good example that we better strive to improve and to reject the telephone ringing that Mr. Winslow refers to when he says, imagine yourself in a room with a telephone and a radio. The telephone is duplex. You can pick it up and both people can talk at the same time, interrupt each other, or they can be more polite and wait till the other one stops talking before they talk. And the radio, imagine that being only an outgoing message being announced continuously, which are the facts about God. Radio station, KOG, Kingdom of God. Mr. Rossin puts it a little differently, and he says, first of all, when there's a suggestion, we must deny that it is real, deny that it has any power, and then immediately shift your thought to perfect God in a perfect heaven, and that you are right there. Two different ways to basically say the same thing. Shakespeare says, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. That's one of the introductory quotes by Mary Baker Eddy to Science and Health. So that is obviously something that should be at the forefront of our thought every time we open the book or open the computer to look at the contents, whatever our venue is. We need to realize that our thought is our experience. Okay, so what happened? I don't go shopping very often. I try to utilize my time in what I believe is more a productive way. So when I do go shopping, I buy a lot. I buy everything that can be frozen and thawed without altering the flavor to any measurable degree. I buy canned things instead of fresh if they have a good flavor. And sometimes canned is a more flavorful product than is fresh. In any event, I went shopping with a two-wheel vehicle, and it's equipped to haul the total contents of a very large shopping cart like they use at the big box stores. You know, Costco, Sam's Club, Price Club, all those kind of places. So the scooter, the two-wheel vehicle, is fixed up with a very large, the largest luggage that one can take legally on an airplane, which goes in front of where my feet are. And on the back, there are room for four cases of apples. It's a big steel frame to hold four apple boxes. So everything that will fit in a large cart will go on the scooter. So the very first place I went, my favorite place to shop, because the customer service is par excellence, none better anywhere in my entire limited shopping experience. And if they have it, it doesn't matter what the price is, because their prices are fair. It is the place to go, especially if you need to be speaking a different language than the native language, which is my case, because they have people that speak my native language. And the service, you just won't believe it. If you ask a question, they don't point to a place to go. They walk there with you, help you find what you want on the shelf until you're satisfied. And if you've got something else on your list, all you've got to do is mention it to them, and they will take you around the whole store until you're satisfied getting everything that is on your list for that place. Everyone else has gotten rid of plastic bags, and they don't use plastic bags, but they have boxes. So they will put your groceries in boxes. They will take it to your vehicle. They have someone at the end of every counter, so when it's passed through the scanner, the person puts everything in order. So you couldn't ask for a better source. I wanted to test a different brand of peaches, and I buy peaches canned because it seems to be difficult to get good, fresh peaches. The season is very short, and they're very perishable. You've got to get them just right. So that's one product that I have found is better to buy canned. So I had not tried this brand before, and so I wanted to try it before I bought a carload of them. And so I took it to the deli place, and they opened it up for me. Drained all the juice off, put them in a dish, gave me the right utensils, and they've got a place to sit down there. There I did. I tested it, checked it out. And once I did, and I was very satisfied with it, so I went and bought a large quantity of them. Anyway, so I had this, I bought all of them they had. In fact, I happened to have had a 3-for-2 sale. So that's a 33% discount. And to me, it was the best I've ever had. So I ended up buying 126 cans. And these are the large ones, which are 850 gram, which is about 2 pounds per can, the largest they have. Well, not the ones that are for restaurant size, but for home use, that has the easy lift-off lid. So anyway, I had someone there that was a store employee to go back and see if they had them in the cases, and they didn't have any in the cases. And this was the end of a one-week sale, which I had no idea, except I saw it on the sign. So they didn't have any cases left. Everything was out on display. So I said, well, I'll take everything you've got. And they had 126 cans. So the young man loaded them all up on the cart, in fact, 2 carts, and took them to the checkout. And then someone else at the checkout unloaded everything because they wanted to scan them all. Well, they wanted to scan them until that was where all of them were the same quantity on each level within the cart. So they got everything scanned and everything was paid for. And I said, would you please help me out to my vehicle? And so sure enough, one man, good strong fellow, pushed one cart and pulled another one, and he took the whole load out there. So I said, you know, I was going to put this on my scooter, and I could have done it, but the weight was like 240 pounds because it was a pound a piece. No, I'm sorry, 2 pounds a piece, 120, 2 pounds a piece. So it was a little over 240 pounds because it was 126. And that's pretty heavy as a second person on the vehicle, in addition to the driver. So I thought, well, you know, this is probably doing it, overdoing it. And even though there's space on there, the weight would not be that good. So I decided to get a taxi. So I asked the gentleman from the store if he would go get a taxi for me because there were none at the exit. And so he went out to the street and he ran out there. And the weather's warm. You know, it's about 90 degrees Fahrenheit. So anyway, he found a taxi and they came in. And the first one, when he saw all the things, he says, no, he says, I only take passengers. I thought that was strange. But anyway, so he went and got a second one. Got everything loaded up. And I told the taxi driver, I said, now wait for me He said, I'm going up to this, in this direction. I said, but wait for me so that you can follow me. He didn't wait. He took off. And I didn't even think to get the driver's number or the taxi number or the plate number, which I've done in the past, because this is common if I have a very large load that I have them put everything in the taxi and then they follow me. So I always do that in case we're separated with lights or whatever. But this time I didn't do it. And he was right there, so I assumed that he would wait for me. But he didn't. He took off in the direction I told him I was going and kept going. So I went to where I told him he should go before he makes a turn. I said, go up here and then make a U-turn. And no one around. No taxi. I waited there a few minutes, nothing. So I decided that if I were a taxi driver, see, I'm thinking about the principle. If I were a taxi driver and I lost my customer, I would go back to the source. In other words, the store where and the curb where this was loaded up. I mean, that's, to me, the natural thing to do. So I did the principal thing from a human standpoint. Again, that's it. That's what I did. Period. So I waited and waited and waited. Probably 20 minutes. And he was only, I mean, if he would have gone to where he was supposed to do the U-turn, it was only like 2 minutes away. So he could have been back there and, you know, when he didn't see me right away, I would have thought he would have gone back there immediately. So he should have been back there in like 3 or 4 minutes. But he obviously wasn't thinking. And he didn't even make the U-turn. He made a left turn and went to a big hotel, which was the name of the street. The name of the street was named after the hotel. In fact, you would probably all recognize it because there was a movie made after that hotel. And as a result, there was a tremendous amount of growth in that area because of the movie. But anyway, that's where he went. So the second thing that came to me is to call the hotel. So I went into customer service and got a good English-speaking young man that was seemed to be sharp. And so he called the hotel, and they claimed that no taxi was there waiting for anybody, and they hadn't even seen a taxi in the last 30 or 40 minutes. So I went in there and talked to in other words, I was still with this customer service man. And he said, well, here's the number to the taxi. I said, well, you know I don't speak the language. I said, you're going to have to solve this for me. So, with a pleasant smile and attitude, he went into their private quarters there for management. And in about 20 minutes, he came back. And he said, this is what I've done. He said, we have surveillance cameras everywhere. And he said, so I looked at the surveillance camera from the time you bought the groceries, because he looked at I told him to look at the receipt so he could get the time off of it. And he said, I've looked at the surveillance cameras for the area where you were, because I told him exactly the direction the car was, you know, was facing and the curb and exact location and everything. And there were two people there that were loading all this stuff up in the car. So everybody was on camera, including the driver. So he knew the color of shirt the driver was wearing and everything else. But his license plate was not caught by the cameras. And there was no taxi number, which surprised me because most of them have it on the side. But this one apparently did not have. I don't know. It was a brand new taxi, I guess. And maybe they didn't have all the emblems on there yet. So anyway, he says, I've discovered it, and we know what's going on here, but he says we can't find the taxi because there's several different taxi companies and they're all supposed to be connected with radios so that they can, you know, coordinate whatever they need to do and so forth. But he couldn't find the taxi. So by that time, I'd been walking around and cogitating on this for like an hour. So I said, well, look, I'm going to go over here and sit down. So they have a common area where anyone in the shopping center can sit down. And so I finally came to my senses and I said, what in the world am I doing? I record treatments for the benefit of everyone. And that includes me. Me, myself, and I, which is really just a facade for manifestation of God. And I said, I'm not doing a thing to demonstrate what I preach all the time. So I told the customer service to go ahead and do what he needed to do, and I was going to be right there. I closed my eyes. And I went through exactly the kinds of thoughts that I recorded in the first part of this recording. About what is God? Well, first of all, I made the statement that there is nothing out of place, and there's no one lost, and there is nothing lost. That everything is in and under the control of the one infinite divine mind. So I made that statement. And then I went through the things that came to me on an extemporaneous basis on what God is. All seven synonymous terms. My eyes closed, block out every sound there was. And of course, the shopping center, this is a beautiful shopping center and very popular because everything is first class, and at least in the major store, the prices are very fair. They call it an anchor store because that's the one that basically owns the center, and then they have all these other little shops that people, you know, like to go into as a special for specialty shopping. Of course, it was 90 degrees Fahrenheit outside, so having a lovely air-conditioned place to browse around in is great. So anyway, and all the parking is covered. It's the only place in town where they have covered parking. Everything is covered, which is fantastic, and they have a lot of security around there, so you don't have to be concerned about anything like that. That could be a problem. So anyway, I blocked out all the noise, and there was noise because of the fact that it's the atmosphere that I mentioned. And I really focused on exactly what Mary Baker Eddy said, and she says, no matter what comes your way, can you focus? Unfortunately, I wasn't very smart because it took me an hour before I did what I should have done in the first minute. Well, I don't know how much time that I devoted to it, but I would say maybe 10, 15 minutes. Soon as I felt like I had connected, I opened my eyes. The customer service man was standing there. He had just walked up there. He said, "We have your taxi." He says, "It's right out this door." And it was about a 10-second walk. Absolutely nothing was happening until I went to God. So I let the human element creep in there, and I asked the driver, I said, "Where did you go?" He said, "Well, I went up here and turned left and went to the end of the road where the big hotel is." I said, "Well, why did you go there?" says, I don't know. I said, we called there and they said there was no taxi waiting there. I said, well, why did you come back here? He says, I don't know. I know exactly the answer to both of those questions. He went to the end of the road because I wasn't paying attention to what I should have been doing and going to God. So I picked up the phone. Like Mr. Windlow says, not to do. And he came back because I went to God. The whole thing could have been over in a few minutes if I would have gone to God first. I mean, I knew the business. I knew that that was the connection place, and that's where he should have been if somehow we got separated. I mean, we never got together because he took off and didn't wait for me to get ahead of him to show him where to go. So instead of having a few minutes of inconvenience, or even I should have made it clear and should have told the taxi, don't move the taxi, stay parked right where you are until I get my scooter over here and get ahead of you, and then follow me, and we're going to make a U-turn at such and such place, and I will make sure that you are right behind me. That's what I should have done. I didn't do it. I said, well, we're going in this direction. Just go ahead and start, and I'll catch up with you very quickly and wait for me. You know, there's a side road that's not on the divided highway, and he could have gone up that road until I caught up with him. Anyway, I didn't make it clear. It was my fault. Especially considering he didn't speak the language I speak, and I really paid a price. My time, the most valuable thing we have. Mary Baker Eddy says, often the difference between success and failure is what do we do with the moments. Well, I wasted an hour, a good hour. In fact, it was like an hour and a half. And this was the rainy season, and it started raining. So I would have been home unpacked had I gone to God first. Or in fact, I should have been more thorough in my instruction to him. And as I said, told him, you know, not to move, just wait until I get my scooter, because, you know, it takes a couple of minutes to get everything going and unlock everything and so forth. So that is all the gory details on one of two events that took place yesterday. The second one is completely different with details, but the procedure was the same. I picked up the phone, did not go to God first. This one was kind of a quasi going to God. And of course, you can't do that. God is not an alloy. They go through a great process in trying to refine gold to get rid of the alloy, to make it as pure as possible. Except I guess they need to have a little bit of alloy in there to hold it together or something. But basically, this has to do with someone that was working for me at my home. And as I mentioned before, the language is different than my native language. And so it is much more challenging if whoever works here does not speak my native language, because I don't speak the local language. So anyway, the prior time that I was shopping, which was about probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, I went into one place very quickly to just see if they had one thing, and I thought they would be the only place would have it. I rarely go there because I already mentioned to you my favorite place to shop, but they didn't have what I was looking for, so I went to this other place. And again, I was on the two-wheel vehicle, and as I approached it and started unlocking it and getting it ready to go, a man came up to me and he says, "Could you give me some money for food?" In English. And of course, it's not difficult to figure out what people want, even in their local language, because they use hand gestures and you can tell that they're beaten down and they need some help. So anyway, he looked very able-bodied. You know, his clothes were decent. Didn't look like an old, dirty man that had been working all day that didn't have any fresh smell. You know, he looked decent. And I'm thinking to myself, what does this guy really need? I would say he needs a job. Not money for food. Maybe he needs money for food also, or not money for food, but he needs food. So I decided to talk to him. And of course, I usually do. I don't just give money out. I usually end up having some kind of conversation, if nothing more than trying to whisper in their ear some spiritual fact. So anyway, we had a conversation. And he told me his tale of woe, that he had been terminated from his work and they owed him $2,000 and they hadn't paid him anything. And he really tried to find work, but he couldn't do it. So I said, "Do you have a vehicle?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "I've got a motorbike." I said, "How far away do you live?" He said, "4 blocks. So I said, "I'll tell you what, here's some money for food, but what I'm really interested in is talking to you about working for me." So I had some things I needed done. And he said, "I can fix anything." That was music to my ears, because I had a few little things that needed to be fixed. Some was electrical, some was, anyway, little things that if anyone has a house, they know. There's always something little to do. So I said, "Well, you go ahead and walk home and I will follow you." And boy, he walked fast. And it was, again, 90 degrees. Even though it was 3 weeks ago, it was the same weather. This is the hot climate. So he walked briskly, and I followed him. And the motorbike was a good-looking bike, not beat up, scratched up, or anything. And I said, "Well, do you have gas in there?" And he had, like, enough gas to start the engine. So I said, "Well, I'll give you a gift to buy some gas." So we went to a gas station, he gassed up, and then we went to my home. And I was convinced that he was really genuine. You know, he really was just having a hard time. And if anyone has been out and about, they realize that this fraud of the pandemic has put many people out of business. Big companies, little companies. In fact, if you go into one of the popular international retail stores here that everyone knows their name, I mean, they have like no business compared to normal. The one I go to has plenty of business because they really cater to the people. if you need it, they'll help you solve the problem. If you go into any of the other big stores, and there's like three of them in town, they're empty. I mean, all these big companies that were complicit with this so-called pandemic, I don't think they realized they were shooting themselves in the foot. In fact, more like in the head. Well, anyway, we got up to my house, and I was really convinced that he was just having a hard time. And he looked good, he looked healthy, he looked like the kind of guy that would not be a problem having him around to do work for you. And he said he could fix anything. Well, the bottom line is that he worked for me a few days, and I've never had a better worker. And, of course, the beauty of speaking the same language. He'd spent many years in the U.S., and that's where he learned his language. He was a native of where I live, but he had spent quite a bit of his adult life in the U.S., and as the rest of his family was up there. So we had this great experience of me getting things done that I'd been accumulating on a list, and he did a great job on everything. So I asked him if he'd want to do some shopping for me. He was very amenable to it. So I told him I would pay for gas for his vehicle, and I'd pay him for his time while I was shopping. And I would give him money, and he gets receipts and brings everything here. And I said, call me from every store when you're ready to leave in case I think of something else I want from that particular place. I said, no problem. So he called me, then called me from the next store and the next store. And he called me before he went in the store, the last call he made. And I said, well, you're only, I said, would you please check and see if they have this? And I'd already written it on, I was just written it on the list. I just was reminding him. And he said, yeah, fine. And it was like, I don't know, a 1 minute walk from where the parking is for the vehicle and where the entrance is, or I don't know, maybe less than a minute. I'd given him quite a bit of money because we had made the list and I estimated what the prices would be, and I gave him, you know, enough extra so it wouldn't be a problem. And also if I wanted him to add anything to the list. So it would have only taken him a couple of minutes to go over there and check and see if they had what I was looking for. And I didn't hear from him. I waited and waited and waited. Picked up the phone, you know. Didn't go to God. I waited. Nothing. That's it. He disappeared. So far, he'd only bought very little. Small percentage of what I had given him money for, because most of it was going to come from, you know, the place he hadn't been to yet. So, nothing. So I called him. Didn't answer the phone. I left a message. Didn't return the call. So the day went by, and there was no communication. I decided there must have been something that went wrong. Maybe he lost his phone. Maybe he ran out of cell phone time. Whatever. I knew he had plenty of gas, and I knew he knew how to get where I lived. So I thought, well, if he had a problem, if it wasn't a problem with his bike, that he would come here. But he didn't come. And it was dark. So now it's been 6 hours or 7 hours or maybe 8 hours, I guess. So I thought, well, he'll probably call me tomorrow morning and tell me what his problem was and whatever. But that wasn't the reliability that I was expecting. I was expecting to have a call from him because I bought time for his cell phone and I bought gas for his truck. I mean, his vehicle. Yeah, I use mine for a truck. But he doesn't have all the equipment on his that's welded on there to haul all this stuff. Well, to make a long story short, I let several days go by. You know, 3 weeks is when he came here and did the first work. So I would say a week went by. You know, I made a mistake. It was about a week before yesterday that he finished the work. And I didn't have anything else for him at the time, so that's when we made the arrangement. I called him and for him to come up then yesterday. It wasn't 3 weeks. That was something else. So anyway, a week went by from when he finished working here until he looked like he disappeared with the money, the shopping money. I decided this was ridiculous. I mean, I was very busy, and I just let the time pass by and did not go to God, period. Finally, yesterday morning, before I went shopping on what my first event was that I gave the details on in this recording, I said, this is really ridiculous. A week. He's disappeared with the money. And more than that, apparently I made a major misjudgment on his honesty. I've hired a lot of people over the years. I've been in business my whole adult life. And so I've been able to pick some good people. We operate out of several locations, a little bit different cultures, two different, well, one place was on the other side of the globe from my home base. So there was a different culture. Different language. In any event, I said, this is really ridiculous. And so that's when I decided, what have I been doing? I've been doing nothing. I've been taking care of my daily activities and not taking care of what I should have been doing in the beginning. I mean, I felt that I was following principle in what I was doing. All types and sizes. In other words, you know, electricians, plumbers, contractors, general contractors, I mean, you name it. A lot of computer people, accountants, managers, whatever. Gardeners, maids. And I just felt like this was a total failure. I really misjudged this guy for him just to disappear. And I impressed upon him that it's not a problem if you can't do something that you promised to do, but what you need to do is to communicate. Tell me what the problem is, why you can't do it, or if you've got a better idea, we'll talk about it. If you have to change the schedule, that's no problem, but we have to have communication. The door is always open for changes and flexibility, but we have to communicate. I don't like surprises. I like things that are stable, effective, good use of time. Well, anyway, I approached this on the basis of time and space. God doesn't know time. Because Genesis 1 states that God had everything completed. And as Mary Baker Eddy states, it doesn't really mean in the beginning God created. It means in the only creation. This is the facts about it. You know, we've got the light. We've got the division, the firmament, which is the spirit, separating the good and evil, so that we're focusing on the good. And, you know, I went through all the steps in Genesis chapter 1. I went through the ideas in Mary Baker Eddy, where she says, love your enemies. And where she states that, you know, who is our enemy? It's only an imagination in our own thought. We create it. So I said, well, this is not my enemy. There's not a person involved here. Mary Baker Eddy states so importantly about thinking about individuality, uniqueness, as opposed to personality, which is jerking around from one emotion to another, reacting instead of responding. I worked with the idea that supply and demand are one. I'd worked this out some time ago on the basis that if somebody thinks they have a need, then they know there's a supply because they've already defined what the need is. They couldn't define what the need is if there wasn't already a description of it. And the same with a supply. Someone has something they need to sell or trade or whatever, a piece of real estate or a business or whatever. They have to understand that if there is a supply, there had to be a need. Otherwise, the supply would have never come about. So supply and demand, and I don't want to go into more detail here because that's a whole treatment by itself, but supply and demand are one. They have to be one. It's like source and manifestation. You have a painter or a sculpturist or a pianist or whatever, conductor, composer. You can't be any of those things unless you perform. Mozart could have had the greatest thoughts in his mind, which he did, but if he didn't score it out so it could be utilized and conducted and bring about a beautiful orchestration of it, you know, the idea does no good. Supply and demand are one. Supply and demand are one. You cannot have one without the other. God needs God's manifestation, or what is God a God of? What is God a source of? Nothing. God depends on the manifestation. We have to clear the vision so that we can see the source clearly, and then we know what our job is as the manifestation. So anyway, I covered these kinds of ideas. Nothing could be out of place. Nothing can be lost. There is no dishonesty because the only thing that could be dishonest would be our being dishonest with our own thoughts. And not being following the thoughts of God. Or the ideas, the standard, the qualities of God. So the only place there can be dishonesty is in the viewpoint. How many layers of dark sunglasses are we going to have between us and God? Between us, between darkness and light. So after reviewing these kinds of thoughts, and I went through the whole seven and the whole four, you know, the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, and incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and the definition of good, the four omnis, definition of God in the glossary, which is God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, So I knew that I could only see the reality. And I could not take in and absorb and accept the unreal, the facade, the fake. Anyway, this was the line of thinking that I went through, thoroughly covering the primary qualities of the seven and the four levels. And I decided to write the thoughts down about what he had done and what was the right way to solve it. There were like 9 points. And I said, this is what was expected, but you did this, and this is what you need to do to, this is what you need to do to solve it. And I'd already prefaced all this with the metaphysical work. The moment I wrote the 9th item down, which was outlining what was wrong, it was exposing the error, is what it was. Exposing the error and providing the scientific solution for it. You know, she says, explain it away with the truth. We have to do the analysis. We have to expose it. We have to eradicate it. And we explain it away with the truth. That's exactly what I did in 9 steps. The moment I wrote the last word down in the 9th step, now remember I told you I'd been calling him. I've been calling him like almost every day. Didn't return my calls, didn't answer the phone. The moment I wrote the last word down on that 9-step process of exposing the error and providing the reason why it needed to be corrected from a spiritual standpoint, the phone rang. The phone rang, and it was he. The phone rang the moment that I was finishing with my chapter 5, like Mary Baker Eddy had to do before she could get the first edition of Science and Health published. She had to cover the topic of animal magnetism. And I hadn't done it. It's what I did. And I wrote it down on my computer. And I was just ready to send it. Print it. I don't know what I was going to do with it. I didn't even think about it. I was ready to print it. I guess I was going to go down to his house. I knew where he lived. You know, I followed him home when I met him. So I had everything about him. I knew the vehicle he had, and I knew where he lived, and I knew he was hanging around that store to beg for money. The moment I finished point number 9, the phone rang. And that was he. He said, I'm really sorry. He said, I've been sick in bed for a week. Apparently, I didn't even ask him. But apparently, he was on the way to inside the store. And he had some kind of a terrible, terrible pain or something, and he had to go home. And he just, all this time, you know, it's just like the taxi driver. You know, why didn't you come back here at the point of where we last saw each other? Because that's where I would automatically go if I was the taxi driver, and that's where I went. He didn't know. He said, I've been sick. He said, I didn't know. And he said, I was cleaning my house today, and one of the things that he took was a part off of a microwave that I had that was not working, and he said he could fix it. And he says, I was cleaning my house, and I saw this part, and he said, I didn't realize that I had it with me. I thought I left it with you. and I had to bring it back. And he says, it'll take me a little while to get organized and take a shower and whatever and get ready. He said, but I could be up there at a certain time. And he said, if you've got any shopping to do, he says, I'll do your shopping. So anyway, I didn't have him do the shopping because it was early, like 8 o'clock in the morning. And he wasn't going to be able to be here until like noon. And I had to do something that he couldn't do. I had to be there to do it myself. So I said, no, I said, I'll go ahead and take care of the shopping. And I said, I don't know how long it's going to take me. And I said, instead of you coming at noon, I said, wait for me to call you. And it's a good thing I did because, you know, with the situation I had with the taxi, I wouldn't have been here. So anyway, I said, just wait. And of course, it was raining then. And so, and he wouldn't have been going out in the rain to come here. So when I got home, then I called him. And I told him that I said, it's really too late. I said, let's do it tomorrow. So there we go. In both cases, it was the instant that I went to God and finished with the thoughts that overcame the problem, that in both cases, the taxi showed up. As soon as I opened my eyes, that's it. He was there and here. As soon as I got done exposing the evil and explaining the reason why and how it can be solved from a spiritual standpoint, the phone rang. He didn't answer the phone for a week. Didn't call me back for a week. Didn't come here for a week. And I'm only like 10 minutes away. There's no human explanation, only that I didn't go to God. I didn't see the harmony that was innate in every activity, in every life, in every individual. That's what we got to do. Otherwise, like Mary Baker Eddy said, the difference between success and failure is often how we use our moments. We better slant a ton of them toward going to God first on everything all the time. Okay, that's my two stories. They're true to life and they're fresh, hot off the press. Both of them happened yesterday, within a few hours of each other. As Mr. Rawson says, and obviously Mary Baker Eddy and other great messengers of God, there's nothing but God. There is nothing but God. Period. Amen.